Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Now for something completely different. We've been talking about relationships, but now we're going to enter your bedroom and we're going to talk about, no, not sexual relations, but sleep. How soundly do you sleep at night? Not just how long enough, but also the quality of your sleep. Do you wake up tired with bags under your eyes, or do you wake up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed ready to meet the new day? Let's talk about other people at middle age. Do you notice that some look far younger than their chronological age, while others appear old and tired before their time? You may be surprised to learn from our second guest today that a youthful appearance is less about makeup, skin cream, plastic surgery, or even diet and exercise than it is about sleep. Sleep also provides the energy you need to excel in each new day. And our guest is Jay Waterman. He's Canada's leading sleepologist. He's author of the recent book, Seven Unusual Habits You Need for Sleep or for Good Sleep, and he's got a new book coming called Sleep Sense. Hello, Jay, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Roy. Thanks for having me.
Well, on your website, you mentioned you discovered that sleep is more important than food and water, which is hard for me to believe, but please explain why that is.
Well, first, from the logical perspective, the same things that are most important for our survival are the same things that are most important for what I call our thrival. Number one is breathing. We've only got a couple minutes without breathing.
Yeah, you better do that.
Yep. Number two is sleeping. We can only go a couple days without sleep. The world record is about 11 days.
Wow.
And number three is water. We can go 15, 30 days without water. I mean, they've done experiments with lab mice, and the lab mice will go 45 days without water. But within 2 weeks without sleep, they would start to pass away.
Huh.
So this is another clear indication that sleep is actually even more important than water.
Yeah, and as
food
you point,
and exercise.
Yeah, they don't even make the top three.
Exactly.
Diet and exercise.
And what we find is if we take a top-down approach to our health and longevity, it's much easier to go down the hill than to climb up the mountain. So let's deal with the top things first.
Yeah.
And again, I love it that people are focused on, you know, getting their exercise and diet in check. But again, we should look at the most important things first and deal with that.
Yeah, that's, that makes a lot of sense. You know, as I notice, as we enter middle age, at least for me that is, it seems to become harder and harder to sleep soundly through the night. And some nights I sleep great like a baby, but other nights my brain simply won't shut down and I'm lucky to get 2 or 3 hours of uninterrupted sleep. And it's not necessarily related to worry, because sometimes my hardest nights to fall asleep are on Friday and Saturday nights. Do you have any suggestions you could offer to kind of ease the brain down so that we can get the kind of good night's sleep that we need?
Definitely. You know, there's a couple things that you mentioned, and I'll just go through a quick list of a few different things that you can do.
Okay.
So one of the things is a lot of people, they go to bed with a lot of things on their mind so they can't sleep.
Yeah.
So a very simple tactic is to write the things down. Write it down. It's out of our head. It's on the paper. And that is able to help us to relax a little bit and go to sleep.
I never thought of that. That sounds like a great idea. I'll try that.
It's a simple one as well, which is a good thing about it. So everybody can do this.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I know that you said this is not your situation, but, you know, with the Boston bombings and these kind of situations going on, sometimes people are really stressed. Maybe there's some event that happened in their life, you know, a close family member passed away, whatever the case is. Then we need a very powerful stress-relieving technique in order to help us to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And for this, I recommend a technique called thought field therapy. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg used this to get over her fear of flying.
Oh.
They use this in, you know, cases where there's genocide. They actually use it during the Boston bombings as well. And it's a series of tapping different meridians on the body. And I discuss this in my book, and I give you the references to where you can utilize this. But basically, within 10 minutes, you can take your stress level from, let's say, a 10 down to a 3, 2, or a 1.
Huh.
And this is powerful because you can learn this within, you know, half an hour, and you have this for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I've heard about this tapping solution. It sounds a lot like what you're talking about, that the various points in your body and
sounds like it works
quite effective.
Yeah, it works amazing. I mean, I would say 80% of the people that I've used it on, they would see the results within minutes. And then the amazing thing about it is it's usually permanent.
Huh.
So that thing that was stressing them out, it doesn't usually come back up. It's gone.
Well, that's great. Well, how much sleep a night does the average, say, 45 or 50-year-old man need and woman need? Do they have roughly the same needs? Or there probably isn't any real norm for that, is there? It all depends on the individual. I know you got by for a while on 4 hours a night sleep.
Well, what I did as I was trying to cheat sleep, because I was busy, and I figured, you know, I was really healthy. I was, as far as I was concerned, I was invincible.
Yeah.
So I decided, you know what, I can get a lot more done if I don't sleep. And I would go like 36 hours, you know, awake, and then sleep for 4 hours. And I did that for 8 months.
Wow.
And this is how I actually learned how important sleep is, because I hit a wall after a while.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not recommended. But you asked what's normal. And
yeah,
I just want to point something out, because this is important. Today, what's normal is not necessarily what we want. Because,
yeah,
I mean, the normal person is on the sad or the standard American diet.
Yeah.
The normal person today who's middle-aged is popping 5-10 pills every day.
Wow.
And when we go to sleep, our body has an order of operations of what we need to do. First, we got to digest the food that we ate. So if we ate a big, heavy meal late at night, that's going to take a while.
No, that's never good. I know that from experience.
Exactly. The next thing that we have to do is we have to remove all the cortisol. We have to decrease our cortisol level or decrease the stress in our body.
Yeah.
The third thing that the body is going to do is it's going to start to detoxify. So remove all the toxins that you took in from your eating, from your drinking, from what you breathe, and from what you were thinking.
So that says I shouldn't have a beer or two before bedtime.
You've got it.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes that'll work real great, and other times it works totally in reverse, and I stay up and toss all night. Not that I drink that much beer, but.
And the last thing is, if our body gets around to it, is the rejuvenating all of our cells and replenishing our body's tissues and fluids.
Which is,
so,
of course, what we want.
Exactly. And what happens is most people never really get to that last point, and this is why we age. This is why we get older.
Sure.
So if we can get proper sleep, if we can get the right kind of quality of sleep, then we can unlock our anti-aging potential, and we can see ourselves getting younger.
Oh, that's great. Well, does exercise in the evening help, and how strenuous should it be and how late? I know sometimes when I exercise real late in the day, I actually have trouble sleeping, so I'm not sure how that works.
I think it's much better to exercise in the daytime, definitely.
Oh.
And because when we exercise at night, sometimes we stir things up, per se, right?
Yeah, that's what I've found, that it seems to stir your emotions up and some of your... I'm not a chemist, obviously, but it seems to stir something up in the body that makes it kind of tough to sleep.
Exactly. But one of the things that I recommend as well is, you had mentioned sometimes you have trouble falling asleep at night. Some of the things that we find is that people are having trouble tuning their brain into the right frequency for sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And right now, when we're speaking on the phone, we're in alpha mode. So it's a higher frequency.
Yeah.
And right before we fall asleep, we go into theta mode. And when we get into our deep sleep, that's in delta mode. And what we can do is we can control the environment in our bedroom. So if we control the sounds and we listen to theta wave entrained music, then what happens is our brain can actually synchronize to that sound. So it synchronizes to the theta, brings us down that to that frequency where we're supposed to be at when we're about to fall asleep. And then the music goes down deeper into that delta wave to help us to get into our deep sleep.
So and how do I find the kind of music that I should be listening to then to get into that delta state?
So you can find this stuff online, but what I do is when people order my book at optimizesleep.com, then what I'll do is I'll send them a copy of my favorite brain entrainment music, and this has helped so many people to get off of sleeping pills, and that's huge because people are addicted to that stuff, and it's dangerous.
Well, I noticed you have a big picture of Niagara Falls on your website. Does a waterfall sound help you get to sleep? I know a lot of people seem to say that you know, the sound of water is good.
Yeah, the sound of water is relaxing to a lot of people, myself included. But actually what's interesting about that is there's a lot of negative ions at Niagara Falls. And there's something that people should understand is that the air, the environment that we're sleeping in, has a huge effect on how we sleep, because one of the things our body has to do is drop all of the cortisol and all of the inflammation in our body in order to start rejuvenating and regenerating. And when we have a lot of negative ions in the air, then that automatically helps us to drop that inflammation levels.
Oh.
And it also is going to help us to prevent ourselves from snoring. And if we stop snoring, we reduce our risk of cancer by 500%.
Wow. I never realized that. No, that was something I was going to ask you about later, so how to reduce the snoring, because I know it's irritating as heck to your spouse or loved ones if you snore, but it also, I didn't realize it had that relation to cancer like that.
Your cancer risk is up by 500%. Your cardiovascular disease risk is up by 200%. Just think about it logically. As I mentioned earlier, the most important thing for our health is actually, number one, is breathing, and number two is sleeping.
Yeah.
When you're snoring, you're disrupting the oxygen flow to your cells.
Okay.
And oxygen, with no oxygen, cancer loves that environment.
Hmm.
And so if we're messing up our number one and our number two, then we shouldn't really expect anything less than getting some kind of a disease, to be honest. So what I've created is a 5-step protocol so that we can eliminate breathing issues during sleep.
Oh.
And it was inspired by this young girl. She had a serious asthmatic condition, and she would wake up maybe 3 times, 4 times a night to take her inhaler, her puffer, as well as nasal spray. And this really was disrupting her life. So she was going to go and get surgery on her nose, and I stopped her because I was like, what is surgery on your nose going to do for the asthma in your lungs?
Huh.
So she stopped the surgery. The doctors were pissed, by the way, because I guess they had the scalpels ready and cleaned up to go.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what, just try it for 2 weeks. And if it doesn't work after 2 weeks, then fine, go do your surgery.
Yeah.
So within 3 days, she was sleeping through the night.
Hmm.
That's how powerful it is. And as well as it had a number of other good side effects through the rest of her day. And I'll just tell you some of the things in that protocol. I do teach it for free on Monday webinars.
Oh, I see.
And there's a mucus melting food protocol, because when we're sleeping, if we're stuffed up with mucus, that's going to block our airways. So there's things that you can eat, such as horseradish, ginger, garlic, chili, wasabi, and the list goes on.
Oh, I see.
Then there's eliminating foods that take your breath away. And these are foods generally that cause an inflammation condition in our lungs. And these are things like wheat, corn, soy, potatoes, etc. And
that sounds like a lot of the things I like to eat.
I'm sorry about that.
Maybe that's why I snore sometimes.
But what, what we find is that when we eliminate these things and we replace them, and there's a replacement for everything, trust me, then we start to live much better. Then there's, you know, we have our airways. Sometimes the muscle that controls our airways get weak. So we have specific physical exercises that we can do to strengthen those. So there's facial muscular exercising. One of them is laughing really hard. Have you ever laughed so hard that your cheeks and everything were hurting?
Oh, sure.
That's exercise.
Yeah,
so if we're laughing enough, that's actually going to benefit us in so many other ways.
Yeah, I'll just sit in my easy chair and watch funny television and I won't have to do workouts anymore.
Exactly. Then there's breathing exercise, and that helps to clear out our lungs. And then there's air hygiene, and this goes back to the negative ions. There's making sure you have a hypoallergenic mattress, and the list goes on.
Yeah, you know, over the past 5 years, I've noticed that two or three sleep clinics have sprung up in our neighborhood. Is it really necessary to go to a sleep clinic, or what should someone go to one of those for? I'd never even heard of those until recently.
I think it is important, because what we find is that a lot of people, they'll wake up in the day and you can ask them, how did you sleep?
Yeah.
Say, oh, yeah, I slept great. But the truth is, multiple times in their sleep, they almost died.
Oh,
and these are
people
who are suffering from sleep apnea. So it's like
an
extreme case of snoring where that you actually stop breathing during your sleep. So not just disruption, but you actually stop breathing in your sleep.
Yeah,
and people don't know it.
You have sleep apnea, that definitely should head to a sleep clinic. How do they treat that? Is it similar to what you've just described?
There are a few people who do practice this, but generally they sell you a big set where you put a face mask over your face to sleep and stuff like this. But what I've found is that people can eliminate their breathing problems with my 5-step protocol.
Yeah. And you also emphasize the importance of a good mattress for a good night's sleep, and you point out that there's an increased risk of heart attack if you have a bad mattress. But how do I find a good mattress? And, you know, do I just go to all the local stores and lie down in them? Or I know mattresses are highly individualistic to different people. How should you try to select an ideal mattress for yourself?
That's a really good question, and what I like to say is that it's kind of ridiculous to think that you could spend 5 to 10 minutes on a mattress and stick with that same mattress for 5 to 10 years.
That's a good point.
It doesn't make any sense. So one of my habits in my book is actually continuously customizing your mattress to your continuously changing body. And I know this might sound a little bit weird, but actually in my book I have a chart of all the customizable mattresses so that you can continuously change it, and it's got all of the comparisons so that you can easily compare and figure out which one best suits you.
I'll
tell you a story because it fits perfectly for your audience. And there's a couple that came to me. They're about in their 50s.
Yeah.
And they were really suffering, starting to suffer from an illness because their sleep was just messed up because they were on a mattress that they compromised on. He liked soft, she liked a hard mattress. They got something in between, so they were both suffering. So what they ended up doing is they ended up getting 2 separate beds and 2 separate rooms, so their health started to improve. But their relationship was suffering. So I gave them a copy of my book, and they saw the chart that had all the comparison with all the different mattresses that are customizable, and they ended up getting one where he was on water on his side, she was on pocket coil on her side, and they could adjust it whenever they need. And this is so important, Roy, because you know what? In the winter when it's colder, we might not like the same sleeping surface as when it's in the summer.
Never thought about that, but that's a real good point.
If we're sore from a workout, our bodies change. If we get injured before, during, and after pregnancy, all of these things, if our body's continuously changing, we need to make sure that our mattress as the right kind of matches so that it's going to match our continuously changing body.
Yeah, that's so interesting, the point you make about people choose a mattress, you know, maybe lying down for 5 or 10 minutes and then stick with it for years as their body changes and their sleep habits change and a number of other things may change, but they have that same old mattress.
Yeah, and the other thing is that most people that go and pick that mattress after 5, 10 minutes, they get home and it's at the beginning it's not even right for them.
Yeah.
And it's not reasonable to think that you can choose a mattress and, you know, you actually need to sleep on it for at least a couple of days, probably a couple of weeks before you know it's right.
Yeah,
and the good thing about a customized...
Can you return most mattresses or what? You need those customized mattresses, I guess, so that you can adjust it yourself.
Exactly. That's exactly why you should get a customized mattress. And don't look at it like a piece of furniture in your house. This is our sleep we're talking about.
Yeah, you can have nice headboards and floor, you know, the frame around the mattress, but I wouldn't worry about the appearance on the mattress itself.
Exactly. And today, you know, people are spending $50 on the latest antioxidant drink.
Yeah.
But if we improve our quality of sleep, then we produce much more powerful antioxidants automatically in our bodies. We unlock our real anti-aging potential when we optimize our sleep and we create the right habits for good sleep.
Yeah, that's for sure. There's one thing I'd have to challenge that you said. I think in your promotional material, you said that your dog can help you figure out where to sleep and where not to sleep. And our dog, Chips, sleeps most nights on the hard tile floor of the kitchen, and I'm not about to sleep there.
All right. So that doesn't mean for you to sleep on the tiles, and it doesn't mean for you to sleep in the doghouse either. I think one guy crawled up
in
his doghouse.
With my wife, but I don't want to sleep there.
But okay, so the interesting thing with that is the Earth has these geopathic stresses, and it's got these ley lines, and it's got this grid going on, this energetic grid going on.
Yeah.
And in certain places of the Earth, there's this electrostatic field.
Oh.
And that electrostatic field can either be, you know, for us or against us, per se. So dogs happen to like the same kind of electrostatic field that we do. So if you notice that your dog will not sit in a particular place in your house for a period of time, like you tell them to sit in, there's no way you can get them to sit there.
Yeah.
Probably means the electrostatic condition there is not right, so do not put your bed there.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying, but I don't have to sleep in the kitchen. And on the
no.
Well, tell us, you know, that you have so many fascinating ideas, and I know you can sign up and get free anti-aging sleep tips from your website. Tell us about your books and how you get those and what your website is, because I'm sure a lot of the listeners will be very interested in that.
Definitely. So when people go to my website, optimizesleep.com, if they buy the book from there, it's the book's called 7 Unusual Habits You Need for Good Sleep. Along with it, I'll throw in a couple freebies. So one of them is that brain entrainment music, my favorite brain entrainment track, which has helped so many people to get into the right frequency for sleep. So there's that. I'll also send them a copy of my sleep optimization checklist. This is really good because it goes through a list of things that you can do to optimize your sleep through the day. You check that off, and you can see how the quality of your sleep is changing based on what you've done. And this is really cool because after you see yourself sleeping really well for a long period of time, then you're going to start to see the bags under your eyes, the fine lines under your eyes start to go away, your energy is going to be up. It's so amazing.
Yeah, that's great.
They can also, as you mentioned on my site, sign up for free anti-aging sleep tips. And so important, especially today, you know, people are getting preventative surgeries for cancer.
Yeah.
But we can reduce our risk of cancer by 500% just by stopping snoring. That's
yeah,
just one
wow.
thing.
That's wonderful.
You know, I I always, I'm thinking to myself, would Angelina Jolie have done this, you know, she, based on her genetic testing, it says, you know, 95% chance for her to get cancer.
Yeah.
But if she could reduce that by 500%, would she have done the same thing?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. No. And all you're asking somebody to do really is something that's very pleasurable, and that's stop the snoring and find a way to sleep more soundly and to induce those anti-cancer and youth-inducing hormones within your body, and it's really a good experience all around. And I love
exactly.
The first tip. I signed up for that those free tips, and the first one is make an intention to induce sleep. And that's, you know, it sounds kind of simple-minded, but it's kind of like what I say. If you really believe things are going to get better, they will. And if you really believe that you can induce sleep, based on the law of attraction, that's very likely to happen. So just like you say, take a little time right before you go to bed at night and vow that you're going to have a sound night of sleep.
Exactly. And I mean, I've seen it through my life. Every single thing, if I make an intention, it's going to happen. It's that simple. It might sound,
you've got a new book coming out soon called Sleep Sense, the 5+ senses you need to stimulate to capitalize on sleep. When's that going to be available?
Hopefully that'll be available in 2 months, and that's about the 5 senses, so taste, sight, smell, sound, touch, as well as the senses that we don't really, you know, we're not really in tune with. This comes down to the electrostatic field that I talked to you about. There's the magnetism, there's the sense of EMFs or electromagnetic fields. There's all of these different senses that we're not really in tune with, but we can still measure them, actually. And they do affect how we sleep. So
well, I would certainly highly recommend Jay Waterman's website. What's that address again?
That's optimizesleep.com.
Yeah, www.optimizesleep.com. Yeah, I would suggest you go there. And I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I think you've given, for me, a very valuable insight, and hopefully for our listeners as well. And thank you
so much.
Thank you
very much. I appreciate the time, Roy.
Thank you, and have a great day.
You too.
Well, our next segment is for middle-aged men and for the women who love them, and we're going to talk about a subject that nobody particularly likes, prostate cancer. But it's a subject all of us at middle age need to focus on, and prostate cancer is the most common cancer in men. It's especially common in men of middle age. Did you know by age 50, 30% of us men have cancer cells in their prostate, and by age 80, 50% of us have cancer cells. And it is a deadly disease, killing 30,000 men each year in the U.S. and 280,000 worldwide. The good news is diagnosis does not necessarily mean a death sentence. In fact, 85% of men with prostate cancer will not die of it. And we have additional good news that's going to be delivered by our guest today. Because of new tests and treatment methods available, the one-size-fits-all radical intervention approach is no longer necessary for most men with prostate cancer. And our guest is Jay Cohen, MD. He's author of the new book, Prostate Cancer Breakthroughs, New Tests, New Treatments, Better Options. And Dr. Cohen is a nationally esteemed medical practitioner and researcher, a leading expert on prescription medications and natural supplements. He's author of 8 books and more than 100 medical articles. And Dr. Cohen himself was diagnosed with prostate cancer in 2011, so he speaks from both sides, both as a physician and a patient. And he's here to help you understand the new diagnostic and treatment options available to you. And hello, Dr. Cohen, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Well, please begin by telling us your personal story, your initial diagnosis, and the recommended conventional treatment options and their potential negative side effects.
Well, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer in December 2011. And I went through the usual medical approach, which is, you know, I did get a PSA test, which now is controversial, but if we have time, I'll explain why I strongly recommend, despite government changes in guidelines and urology associations changes in guidelines, men should, of any age, should continue to get PSA testing every year. And in the book, I explain, and the reason they're dismissing it is because the doctors who are urologists, who are surgeons,
yeah,
rush men right to biopsies, half of which are not needed, and to surgeon radiation, much of which is not needed. So they're saying, well, let's just not do the test. But
some money.
But that's like burying your head in the sand. That's like, let's
yeah,
not do mammograms on women. It's the same stupid thing.
No, it's ridiculous.
So
yeah,
this is our one early warning sign. And if you get this disease, you know, prostate cancer early, it's very treatable in 95% of cases. So
yeah,
I really advise people to get it. And in the book, I explain very, you know, succinctly what can cause an elevated PSA level, because often it's not cancer.
Oh.
And how do you, what questions do you ask your doctors, and how do you make sure that you know whether it is a risk signal or not before you get rushed to biopsy? But anyway, to make a long story shorter, I did have significantly elevated PSA test, and my doctor did it again, and it was high.
Yeah.
So we did go to biopsy, and they did find cancer. And I was said, well, you know, with the PSA level that yours is and with the positive biopsy, you have to have surgery or radiation.
Yeah.
Now, surgery is not an easy surgery. You know, taking out the prostate is tough. Radiation radiates the whole prostate area. And either way, they often will get the nerves that go to the sexual organs or to the bladder, and sexual problems after prostate surgery or bladder control problems or rectal injury from the radiation are persistent problems for a large percentage of men. So it's something you want to avoid. I was on the schedule. I was ready to go, and I wasn't looking forward to it. But fortunately, I went to a unique support group, and they said, you know, there are new studies and there's new tests, and why don't you get a test? And they
yeah,
said, you know, you don't even know really what you have and where it is and how big it is, because up until now we have not had the ability to use X-rays or CAT scans or MRIs to tell us much about a prostate.
Oh, I see.
About prostate cancer, and now suddenly we do, and it's a game changer, because in my case, I did get that. My urologist said, oh, we don't use those. We don't think they're ready yet. And I said, well, I'll pay for it. Just give me a prescription to go get it. And he said, no, I won't. So I got another doctor who said, well, yeah, okay, you know, go get it. What's to lose? And
you have more to lose than the doctor. But
absolutely. And I was really shocked by that.
Yeah.
So I did get the MRI, and the MRI told me what the information I really needed to know. And what it told me was I have a smaller nodule, you know, tumor of cancer on the left side of my prostate.
Oh, I see.
It's not anywhere else. It's not spread everywhere throughout the prostate. It's not encroaching on any vital structures. And with the second doctor I got, who is part of this new changing renaissance that's happening now with prostate cancer care, he said, you know, this cancer will probably never bother you. But either way, he said, we can continue to keep an eye on it, and
yeah,
if we begin to see signs of growth or spread, we can intervene, you know, with plenty of time.
Yeah,
so
that makes
put
so
me
much
in,
sense to not
absolutely
do that radical procedure
absolutely
up front like that.
You know, the statistic is that of men diagnosed with prostate cancer, this is kind of chilling, about 75% get radiation or surgery.
Yeah.
And only 15% really need it.
Oh, yeah.
So we're talking about 50, 100,000 men a year who get these very, you know, difficult, intense, radical treatments with all the secondary side effects that can last a lifetime.
Yeah, I think it says something like in the this medical encyclopedia I looked at, of course, it's a few years old, but it said 3 or 4 days in the hospital and maybe 3 to 5 weeks off work or something like that. So
and one out of every 500 men dies from the surgery, and many
yeah
need transfusions, and many, you know, men go to surgery or radiation, especially surgery, think, well, let's just cut it out. You know, you get a diagnosis of cancer and it scares the wits out of you.
Yeah, it sure
And you're
does.
Thinking, well, let's just cut it out. But, you know, it still comes back 30% of the time. It isn't
yeah.
like it's an absolute cure for everybody.
And if you get radiation and it comes back, you can't get radiation again, or it's tough to get surgery after that, isn't it?
That's right, because the radiation injures the tissue so much that you can't really operate on it then because it won't hold.
I had radiation on as a follow-up to a cancer I had in my nasal capacity years ago, and 25 years later I went to get a dental implant, and they couldn't do it because of the radiation I'd had, and I went through a hyperbaric oxygen treatment, and then I had to have a little like a transplant of a cow bone or something up to build up the bone underneath where the implant would go. So radiation can do a lot of harm that I had no idea that it would do when I had that radiation.
Well, the radiation is intended to kill every cell.
Yeah.
Good cells or cancer cells, and that's what happens. So if you have to go back, it creates a problem. Now, let me just add that there are other newer tests, too. Another one is called a color Doppler ultrasound, which, again, only a handful of doctors do in the U.S., and I list them in the book.
Yeah.
The places that do this new advanced MRI, it's only about 10 in the country.
Yeah.
But there are like 10 top places you can think of. You know, Mayo Clinic and Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York and Mass General and UCLA and a whole bunch of others. So
yeah.
I give the places to the readers so they'll know where to call and where to look for both of these. But beyond that, now for your kind of situation, for example, where there's damaged tissue from radiation or surgery has been done and yet the cancer comes back, there's newer treatments that can be done because now with the MRIs and all, we have
yeah.
such a better fix on what we're dealing with that then there are much milder, kinder treatments such as high-intensity focused ultrasound, also known as HIFU, which is approved everywhere in the world and is in trials here. You can go to Canada and get it. There are doctors here who I list who will see you and then go take you to a surgical suite in Bermuda or the Caribbean or Europe for that. Cryotherapy, cryosurgery now is a freezing technique, and that can be done here, is being done here in a few centers in the country. And now laser therapy is focused, laser ablation treatment is now being used for prostate cancer. It has a history of being used for other tissues, brain cancer and other tissues, and so it's well known it's now being applied for prostate cancer.
And your book highlights all these treatments.
All
and
these treatments.
Pretty exhaustive description of them. And what I loved about your book is it's written really for laymen and not just medical professionals. So it, somebody that's been diagnosed with prostate cancer can go through and see what all these options are rather than, just sitting back and depending on what a doctor tells you.
Well, the reason I wrote it that way, and if you go to Amazon, you see my 10 books, they're all written for consumers because
yeah.
I find, and I'm an integrative doctor. I'll take the best from mainstream medicine. I'll take the best from alternative medicine. I really don't care. I'm a pragmatist. What
yeah.
works best and what is safest? And what I see with the medical model is it's so conservative that it resists change, and that's what I ran into with my first urologist. And I thought, the only way we're going to move the ball in this is to inform people, readers, men with prostate cancer or their wives or daughters or mothers who are the ones who usually do the reading and then tell the man. But if you inform people and give them, the information and then the questions, I have long lists of questions that you can ask the doctors. And if you start asking questions, it will start to move the chains, as they say in sports,
yeah.
and get doctors more aware and then have them start asking questions and then push their people to bring the new technology into their own health systems.
Yeah, one thing I'd be concerned about, say I'm 53 years old and live in someplace like Fort Dodge, Iowa, or Springfield, Missouri, whatever, and I don't have easy access or inexpensive access to these clinics and physicians that you mention in your book, where could I go to get a second opinion? And the most insurance plans and Medicare, for instance, and other insurance plans pay for these breakthrough tests? Or
it will pay for some of the tests, the MRI that I got my second. I'm a year and a half now post all this, fortunately.
Yeah.
And I had my color Doppler done again, and it's fine. And I had the MRI at UCLA done, and they took my Medicare and my secondary insurance.
Mm.
So insurance will cover a lot of this, and many of the doctors too. But my goal in the book wasn't to find every single doctor in every single community, which certainly I couldn't do, but to give you the knowledge to ask the questions about the new advanced prostate MRI or color Doppler. You know, you can call around in your community. You can get a few different opinions from urologists or oncologists who are cancer specialists.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a fair amount of oncologists who do really specialize in prostate cancer oncology. And, you know, articles are now appearing more and more in the medical journals that these specialists read. And if you can find a doctor who will work with you, he can refer you to the largest medical center, you know, in your area and see if it has it there. But even if it requires a trip of 100 or 200 miles to go to a place that has the MRI, it's worth it. You know, they don't have one here in San Diego, believe it or not, of adequate size. So I go up to UCLA, which is a couple hours away, and get it done there. And my doctor is up in L.A. also, and I get it there, and it's worth the trip every time.
And you mentioned support groups. How would I find a support group? That would I go on the Internet to do that? Or
you go on the Internet and just put in your area. You might put in Des Moines.
Yeah.
And, you know, prostate cancer support group. Now, there are a couple different kinds of support groups. There's a support group which is basically for the men who are post-radiation, post-surgery, and are trying to deal with the, you know, the difficult adverse effects.
Yeah.
But there's another kind, which is the one I very luckily fell into, where the men are very proactive, and they look at all the new studies that come out, and they go to the websites for prostate cancer, and they stay abreast of what's going on. And so when I went to this group and explained my situation, they immediately said, well, check out this MRI thing and check out this these other possibilities. So you're going to want to look for a group. Now, there's also some websites that are very helpful. One is called PCRI.com. Another is called PAACTUSA.com, and they're always, you know, they're always keeping up with the new things that have just been brought online. For example, a new treatment called Alpha Radin has just been approved. This is for men who have metastatic cancer, and this is a radiological particle that goes into the bloodstream and attaches to the bone where the prostate cancer is, and it burns, it kills on a microscopic level the cancer cells. I mean, this is just, you know,
I've heard of things
it's
like
21st
that,
century science fiction.
Inject these little
no,
devices.
It's excellent. And there's a few others I talk about in the book, too, that are really good websites. And it's really worth, you know, for men who are interested, for women who are interested for their men, it's really worth just checking these out. In fact, I'm going to sit down on my computer right now because I think I have one up, and I'm going to bring it up to give you another one that we can.
The Internet is such an advantage over the old days when you had to search through books at the library and whatever, and there's so much information out there that you can access, and you don't have to rely on the opinion of just your own primary physician or urologist. If you don't like what they say, it's always worth studying, and because after all, it's your body, not theirs, that you're dealing with.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I what I've been saying, and I say in the book, is that this is going to be the decade where prostate cancer methods are going to just take a leap.
That's a wonderful news.
We're going to move from 1990 into the 2010s to 20s. women in breast cancer have done an incredible job of, you know, bringing this issue out and doing so much, you know, spread of information, education, and treatment methods. And now we're finding, you know, I'm seeing so many changes that are going to happen in the next 5-10 years that what the treatment approach will be done in 2020 will be completely different than what is done today.
Well, where can people find your book, and what's that title again, and where can we purchase it?
The title of the book is Prostate Cancer Breakthroughs, and you can find that at Amazon.com. Comes out in regular book form and also in Kindle. And you also, and that's the best way to find it.
Yeah.
If you want to get more information about me, I mean, I've been a faculty member at the University of California, San Diego, a top 20 university for decades. And I'm very scientific in my approach. And everything I talk about in the book has good scientific validity and studies, et cetera. I don't talk a whole lot about the studies. I want to just give the information. The book's short, about 110 pages, and I just take people from the PSA to the next step to the next step just so they know how the process should go now today with the newer methods.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. It's short and to the point, and doesn't have a bunch of, you know, all the background research and all that kind of stuff that the consumer really doesn't need.
Yeah, there are a few studies in there I talk about a bit in a paragraph maybe. You know, the doctor will say, well, you have to have your prostate out because cancer is all over it. Even if you just find a little bit, it's everywhere. Turns out studies show that's not true, you know, 70% of the time. So, again, an MRI can tell you what the truth really is.
Yeah.
But my website you can go to is called, and this is from my work in trying to lessen the high rate of medication side effects. My website is Medication Sense, like Common Sense. MedicationSense.com.
Oh, okay.
You can see my bio and my other books and a whole long list of articles I've just put up there for public interest over the last 10 years.
Yeah, no, I think that would be an excellent place to go also if you have other questions. But Dr. Cohen, we certainly appreciate you taking the time out today to tell us about this book, and I would highly recommend it for anyone that has elevated PSA or any concerns about prostate cancer. And obviously at our age, we all should be concerned about it because it is so common among men at middle age. And
well,
thank you.
It's a pleasure to talk with you and to try to help get the message out to others who will face what I faced.
Yeah, and thank you so much for your time and attention.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.